This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, what's up, Geekscapists? Welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. This guy over here on your left is Jonathan London. I'm your host, and that's only if you're watching this. If you're listening on the podcast, well, I just wasted your time. I'm Jonathan. This is Geekscape, and we're trying something new today because I got my full vaccine, and I'm sitting here next to author Barbara Evers. She's a fantasy novelist, and she's got a brand new book. I've got it right here in front of me. It's called The Watchers of Mania. We're going to be talking a little bit about that, and it's the first book in a trilogy. We're going to get to all that stuff, but that's a little taste if this is your first Geekscape, because we like to talk sci-fi and fantasy and comics and movies and all that stuff, and this is the place for it. It's been the place for it for quite a long time, like 15 years we've been doing this show, but for the last year we've been doing it remotely right here on StreamYard, but as things start to kind of slowly get back to normal, I'm going to start going back in person with some of the creators who feel comfortable doing that. I'll still be doing this over StreamYard. I'll still be sitting down with creators with y'all in attendance, which will be fun because you can interact with my guests as you can interact with Barbara right now.
Yeah.
But but as we kind of get back to the way we used to do Geekscape with the guests in person, I wanted to keep the streaming thing going so that y'all are a part of the live show as well. And we're just going to slowly kind of see what that evolves into. Barbara here is a bit of a guinea pig when it comes to doing a live show streaming with a guest that then turns into an audio podcast, downloadable. It's going to be a little bit of a mess. I don't think it's going to be a mess.
And not in a normal studio either.
Not in a normal studio. We're actually in her office in South Carolina. Did a remote road. Did a little bit of an on location for this one. We're sitting in Barbara's home office. It's pretty cool. She's got all sorts of stuff here on her desk, like this giraffe. And we're going to be talking giraffes here in a bit. But as I said earlier, Barbara's a fantasy novelist, and she has this new book out that you can pick up on Amazon or at her site, either digitally or, like I said, in print. But if you're looking for something like, oh, I just really wanted to know what Jonathan thought of the Zack Snyder Justice League, well, you're in luck, because if you subscribe to the Geekscape feed, you can hear Ian Kerner and I talk about the Snyder cut of Justice League on the last episode. And before that, we had Jamie Kennedy, and we've just had a lot of great episodes, and we're going to keep them going no matter what this pandemic and new normal thing is. But I wanted to introduce you to my first in-person guest in like over a year.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, it's kind of hitting me that I don't really know who my last guest is that I sat in person with and did a show with. And it's kind of crazy.
That sounds almost like we should ask the people who are watching if they know.
Yeah, Geekscapists, if you know who the last in-person guest was, and I don't mean over like Zoom or however, Zencaster, it's got to be in person. I'm in the room with them recording a podcast. That's kind of the trivia. I could go to the podcast feed and take a look, but I'm too busy kind of doing a podcast right now. But go ahead and let me know.
This guy, he's just too busy. Y'all.
Just too busy sitting here. Oh, Barbara, would you mind sitting there while I go through my...
Sure.
Not going to the podcast feed right now, Geekscapist. We got fantasy to talk about. And really what I think the most interesting thing for me is the fact that I have the attention span of probably an insect. So the idea that you wrote a book, not just a book, but you wrote three books, mm-hmm. and talking to you about writing these three novels, and you were like, oh yeah, the idea came to me in what calendar year?
Late 1990s.
You had the idea for these books, these three books. I'm going to show you all three books right here. You had this idea since the late 1990s.
Yeah. I didn't start writing them then.
You did not start writing them, but as a writer myself, you start stewing and you start collecting notes, mm-hmm. and putting notes together. Like Geeks gave us no spoilers, but sitting on Barbara's desk here is the two little post-it notes of poisonous flowers, different poisonous plants. So that might be a plot
point. That was my research today. The FBI is probably tracking me.
Yeah, you got to be careful what you Google as a writer, because we go down these rabbit holes. And suddenly it's like, oh, yeah, I did just spend 3 hours Googling poisonous plants. Oh, and then that cross-referenced with the fact that I was looking up serial killers within a zip code in Montana. Things are starting to look pretty, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
But that's kind of where we go. And you've been going there since the late 90s on this book, but it's fantasy. So you're Googling real-world plants, but it's a fantasy book. Why not just make all the rules? Does that make sense? Like, as a fantasy novelist?
Yeah, it makes sense. To some degree, you do. And that's one of the reasons I like to write fantasy, is because I get to do the world building and I don't have to do as much research as if I did like a historical novel.
Sure.
So, because that terrifies me, the idea of trying to do something historical and then have everybody going, yeah, you got that wrong.
My father loves that stuff. My father writes stuff usually against the backdrop of World War II or that era. Mm-hmm. And he loves the research because he's a big buff of that kind of stuff anyway. He loves that stuff.
Well, I like it, but I'm not detail oriented enough, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. But when you create a fantasy world, there are elements that people have to relate to. And a lot of times it works best if you know something. Like, I do use giraffes in this, right? There's giraffes in the story. And for the most part, they're like giraffes, mm-hmm. but then they're not, because they're fantasy giraffes. So there is a magical system related to the giraffes and so forth. And there are elements that are very much the way a giraffe would behave, and then there are elements that aren't. And I actually had someone from Giraffe Conservation Foundation, that actually I'm working with them, donate a percentage of my royalties to them. But the co-founder's son read the books, and he loved them, first of all. That's the good point. He liked them. But he said, Mom, she called them horns. And fact is, they aren't horns on a giraffe.
Giraffes, those aren't horns on top of their heads?
They're ossicones.
What is that?
It is a calcified bone that protrudes up. And
that's a horn. I don't know.
And I knew they were called ossicones, but we went with horns because people felt like they would react like you did.
Yeah, like the word ossicones. Yeah.
And so when she told me, I'd laugh. I said, yeah, I know what they are, but people told me that would confuse people. So we called them horns.
I can understand why they're ossicones, because they're bulbous at the end, like a snow cone. So they are... They are cones in a sense, because like a snow cone, it has a ball at the end, like a giraffe. I mean, ultimately, when I was hearing about the book and I was seeing how dominant of a creature in this fantasy world giraffes were, it did remind me of Tolkien kind of taking elephants and making oliphants out of it, uh-huh. right? Like making larger versions of elephants. And the question really is, why not make giraffes, or you know what I mean? Like, why not make a bigger version of a giraffe, or a fantasy equivalent of a giraffe that is then, because these giraffes in your books are going into, you know, warlike scenarios, right? They're mm-hmm. they're being used like horses and
steeds. Well, and I did create a fantasy. They are the fantastical part of the story, the part of it.
Right.
For one thing, they're telepathic.
Sure.
So,
but what's fantastical about that? Because I just go to the zoo and
And you talk to the giraffes.
Like, I think that monkey's talking to me. This is me. It takes me. No, I'm not, they don't talk. Listen, they don't always respond. But I am the guy who, like, they're like, listen, the zoo's closing. You got to go, sir. And you're scaring the kids. Like, I get, you know, when it takes me 20, it takes me a long time to get through a zoo. Because every little thing, I'm like, I think that animal's talking to me. Nah? Okay, yeah. Moving on.
Well, and I could buy that, because the whole reason I ever got interested in giraffes is because I kind of had this point where I sat at the Washington Zoo in Washington, D.C., stared at the giraffe, and he stared at me, and we sat there. 30 minutes.
Wait, how old are you when you had this experience with the giraffe?
I was 16.
What was that about?
I went with my parents to Washington, D.C. to visit my aunt and uncle. And they decided we were going to the zoo. At 16, you don't want to walk around the zoo with your parents.
What did you want to do? Go meet boys and stuff like that?
I was hoping probably that I would run across some cute guy who'd talk to me. But I wandered ahead of them and then just sat down to wait at the giraffes.
Right.
And there was this giraffe. I have a picture of him somewhere, but it's taken with such a crappy camera.
Sure.
So I don't share that picture too often as opposed to others I've taken. But I stood there, and then I sat there, and he just – giraffes are actually curious animals. So he just was watching me, and I was watching him.
You know, like, 10 hot dudes walked by while you were staring at that giraffe, right?
Yeah,
like,
no.
If you know, no. You know, you just had a bunch of guys parading past and you're just staring at a giraffe like,
nah, they didn't. They didn't. There weren't any hot guys at the zoo that day. So,
and this is just kind of because we're in your office and there's like giraffes.
Yeah, there's quite everywhere. A few. I heard my granddaughter say to somebody on a Zoom one day, I think she's got like 25 giraffes on her desk. There's more. There's more than 25.
You count them?
After she said that, I did count. There's more than 25 giraffes.
Do you have a number you can share with us?
On this desk, there's probably over 30. I own over 300.
What? Yeah. I'm trying to think. I mean, I own over 300 comic books, but in decorative artwork, like some of these statues are.
I have over 300. Some are statues, some are clothing, some are jewelry, some are shirts, sweatshirts.
Okay. Those count.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything with a giraffe. I have mugs. I have my, I don't know if you can see.
Yeah, there's a cool giraffe on your cup.
The giraffe on the cup. Yeah. There you go.
Viewers, enjoy that.
I've got a giraffe mask over there that somebody gave me. And a lot of these people
a giraffe
me.
Mask? What's that for?
Right
the Purge? What is
it's
that?
It's a Halloween mask.
But you don't just wear it on Halloween because you're into giraffes, right? Like, you get freaky.
I put it on Halloween before just to be
You've
silly.
Also put it on not on Halloween, too, haven't well, you?
Once or twice, maybe. Maybe.
Oh, man. I don't want to get
giraffe
too
pens.
Geekscape, I don't want to get too weird because there's something else about Barbara that I have to reveal right now. She's actually Heidi's mom.
Yes.
And y'all know Heidi because most Geekscapes, she comes into the room and is like, hi, everybody. But yeah, my girlfriend, Heidi, this is Barbara, Heidi's mom. Heidi is actually here. Heidi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm downstairs. I'm downstairs in my nephew's room.
We're listening
to you two.
We're visiting your parents here in South Carolina, and Heidi is downstairs. We're upstairs in Barbara's office talking about the book. And Heidi just called in from what appears to be a set of like a found footage horror movie here. Like the lighting just looks, there you go. They're close.
I think I
You have to have like snot coming out of your nose.
Hang on.
Listen, Heidi, for the podcast listeners are like, Jonathan, please, you've forgotten all about us because you're like,
no, we haven't.
Geekscape, the truth is, you know, Heidi is here. Barbara wanted to be on the show. I wanted Barbara to be on the show to talk about fantasy writing. And if y'all are thinking about writing, if y'all are just fans of fantasy, maybe you're into something like Harry Potter, you're into Lord of the Rings, or some of the deeper cuts that I think Barbara grew up with, then I think that's like the really interesting thing for me too. Again, going back to the fact that you wrote these things and you started with these ideas in the late 90s. Where do you even begin putting something like this together, Barbara, where you had the idea for this? And keep in mind through all this, like, Heidi's going through college. And so Heidi, you were a witness to some of this too. Your mom's trying to, like, this was like the beginning of her writing career as a novelist. She's always writing short stories. She's always writing stuff and submitting, but when she starts putting a huge project together that takes over 2 decades, this is, I mean, no, that's not a slight. Barbara, that's not a slur.
She always talks about it. She talked about it as, and I was like, that's cool. My mom's writing a book, you know? And then at one point I was like, you know, when I was younger, she was like, yeah, you know, if it ever gets done and anyone ever wants to make a movie, you could play one of the characters. And now I'm like a little too old to play like the main character, but, because she's like 15 to, I don't know, how old is she?
18 in the book.
Yeah, so
you'd be a good Quilla.
CGI Heidi.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I'm not tall enough to be Donna.
Yeah, Quilla's not tall. Okay, you listen, could be Quilla.
I know.
None of my audience knows who these characters are unless they've read the book.
That's true.
All right. They just know one thing. Like, maybe if I grow the horns, I can play a giraffe. That's really the only thing that they think. They're like, well, he can probably play a giraffe.
Well, you should put on that mask, sweetie. Put it on.
Oh, yeah. We can. Heidi, later. Your mom is
right
here.
It was a gift.
Oh,
geez.
Your mom is right here. Don't be talking about putting on the masks, all right? She's right here, and you just made Geekscape really awkward.
By the way, sweetie, I checked your podcast stream, and it says, I think your last in-person guest was Brendan Steer, Velasa Pastor.
That's right. I sat in Brendan's living room, and we talked there in Pasadena. Okay. And Brandon's awesome. I got to catch up with Brandon again. And Geekscape is, if you want a horror movie that you're going to be like, what the F did I just watch? Watch Velasa Pastor. watch a movie.
It's pretty funny.
It's completely gone viral, where a pastor turns into a velociraptor and fights crime. That's, you know, maybe we'll have Brendan.
Velasa Pastor.
Pastor. You know, the name says everything. We'll just have Brendan adapt one of these films, and we'll make it for $50. And you're going to be horrified by the results, Barbara. Don't worry. Now, Brendan's actually got ideas for some really great movies. It's just people know him for Velasa Pastor. And so, you know,
well, I'm not just saying this because she's my mom. The book is really good. I've only read the first one, but like, I wanted to read what she had written, because you never know. You never know when you go into something like that. And I was like, I'm really compelled. This story is very compelling. Like, there were times where I was like, I really need to go to sleep, but I want to see what happens next. Cause you write these really short chapters too.
Yeah. The first book has short chapters. The rest of the books don't necessarily have such short chapters, but the first one does. I blame it on my writing critique group. Because when I started writing probably 2000, 2001, but I really didn't get serious until about 2004.
Do you have to just go back and re-outline everything and just really get...
I don't outline at all. I'm a pantser.
Crazy.
I mean, I always knew, here's where we are, here's where we're going.
Sure. But flying by the seat of your pants is
what
you're
referencing. So I'm by the seat of my pants. Now, book three, I couldn't do that.
Okay.
Because book three had to close up all the threads.
Right. Too many moving parts.
Yeah. So it's epic fantasy. So you've got all these different storylines. And so I started writing the third book and I realized, oh, I'm going to miss something. So I sat down. I did a bare bones outline.
Why didn't you run the last season of Game of Thrones?
Oh, no.
When we started talking all those storylines that didn't really quite get satisfied.
There'd be a lot less naked people if I was writing it. I'll tell
There's so much hate for that show and the end of the series, and I don't know that I share it. Like, a lot of people can't stand it. I know you don't like it, Johnny, but
I didn't hate it.
I didn't love it, but no. I was
and
like,
I haven't seen the last of it.
They work so hard.
I reserve my hate for things whose breath I can extinguish from this planet. I don't care about inanimate objects and things like that I don't have control over. But something I can put my hands around. No, I'm kidding. That's horrid. The FBI is watching this show now because
of the plants.
Because
plants.
Of Barbara's IP address, and then we're broadcasting from our office. So, yeah. We got a ping.
They're going to be really bored with what they find.
Which
is good.
Heidi's been reading this book nonstop, and when she picked it up, she said, okay, let me see what ignoring the last 20 years of my life was for. And she did, and I was like, whoa, Heidi, please. Your mom has dreams. She's allowed to pursue them.
Exactly how that went.
She goes, you know what? I'd ignore my adulthood too. She said that when she was reading the book. She's like, yeah.
Mom, you know, you, I know you're still getting to know Jonathan, but you know this that he makes things up sometimes.
I get it.
You know what? I wouldn't have ignored my graduation for this, though. That storyline didn't work out.
She came to everything. My mom has come. My mom, you know what? She sent me an earlier draft in like 2014.
And you didn't
I did read it. I started reading it, and then you told me to stop because it had changed.
Because it did change.
She does the same thing.
So don't be all accusatory, telling me that I didn't read it.
All right.
Because I did. But
Heidi gets halfway through everything I write as well.
I'm going to leave if you two are going to get
Heidi,
up with me.
We're not going to bang up.
Heidi,
we're not going
to. We believe you. And because we believe you, Barbara has a 5-question quiz on the things that happened in book one that she's going to ask you. Okay, so 5 questions. Okay. Heidi,
but I wasn't done with my little story.
We need to keep things moving. This is my show, and the podcast has to clip. And we.
I mean, I did have something I wanted to.
What did you want to say, gorgeous?
I was just saying that my mom has. She showed up for everything. She's come to every like theater performance I've ever been in. She's even driven like halfway across the country to see me in some of them in college. She flew to LA and then went down to San Diego Comic-Con with me in 2014 when I had my first panel, and that was when she sent me the draft of this book. That so I'm circling back to the book now. You can keep
you're
going.
Like, Mom, I'm too busy, I'm talking to nerds.
So I gotta make this really hard, don't I?
Yeah, so let's well
you can
you gauge you gauge it, but what we're gonna do right now to test whether or not Heidi actually read it. Mm-hmm. We're going to give Heidi a quiz here on 5 things out of the book, first book right here. And it's available at barbaravevers.com on Amazon, Watchers of Anaya, book one in the Watchers of Anaya series. Soon to be I don't know if it'll be a film, but hopefully it'll be
a film. It'd be cool if it was, but cool. You know, I'd be happy if people read the books.
Just read the freaking books.
Read the books.
But
it's
here
really
we go.
Good.
So, okay.
Here's a little quiz for you, Heidi.
Let's see. What color means danger from a distance?
What color means danger from a distance? Isn't it red?
Yes. Ding, 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 ding.
Listen. No. You could have gotten that just by thinking about traffic lights, all right?
I remember.
There is a scene.
I'm pretty sure there's a whole scene.
There's a whole scene with the giraffes, and she's seeing through the giraffe's eyes. And
yeah,
I could have answered that. It's a universal color for danger. Okay, listen, make it harder.
I didn't write it.
Heidi, this one's not going to be harder, but I want people to know.
No spoilers.
Heidi, these get incrementally harder, okay? We're going to see if you can answer these questions on your mother's book to test whether or not you are, in fact, the favorite.
How do you bond with a giraffe?
How do you bond with a giraffe? You drink their tears.
Okay. You drink their tears.
Yeah, and then there's also, well, it depends on who you are, right? So if you're royalty, you get, you if you're like the queen or something, you get pricked with a pen that's like.
She does. When she becomes queen. But only royalty bonds with the giraffe.
Right. And the giraffe usually chooses you, right? That was what I get. Was I right about the tears or no?
You're right.
Okay. They do have tears, right? Giraffes actually do have tears, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is the significance of the word glimmer?
The glimmer cloth is made from the horns of, or whatever it is that you call those things of the giraffe. Let's again, it's only made in Manaya. I'm not sure of what color it is exactly. I know it sort of, it kind of
colors.
Yeah, I picture it sort of like this iridescent kind of, and it changes with how the light hits it, but it's made with the ground up horn of the giraffe, isn't it?
You're losing it.
It comes from the horn, but it's not the horn. There's a secretion from the horn.
Yeah, the snow cone.
Oh, right. There's like some kind of gel or something.
Yeah, it's a secretion.
Imagine the snow cone melting.
So, in fact, I have to tell you this because I was at a writing conference several years ago. And sitting around with David B. Coe. I don't know if you know who David B. Coe is, but David B. Coe is this wonderful author. He writes under David B. Coe, and D.B. Jackson writes fantasy and all this. Great guy, lots of fun. He even did, we got a quote from him on the back of the book. But anyway, I was talking to him, and he was like, so you got telepathic oozing giraffes. And I was like, yeah, good dogs. So guess what, David? I named a giraffe Togs in the third book.
That's awesome.
So, but yeah.
Spoiler. Spoiler.
I was kind of not surprised, but also a little surprised at how much you knew about giraffes when it, cause, but I mean, as a kid, it was just, if I ever needed to get a present for my mom, like didn't know what to get her.
$15 on giraffes right here in her office.
Yeah. I mean, she and I went down when she came to San, when was that? 2018. We were in San Diego. You came down to San Diego to work, and you and me went to the animal park, and we fed the giraffes. So they're cool. They're so prehistoric. They're like,
don't change the subject. You got two questions left, Heidi, on this quiz. Okay. You got two questions left to prove. So far, you've done well. You're pretty much.
Can I say hey to Larry Potter first, though? Because
Larry Potter is watching. Larry Potter said, "Hi guys, I'm here."
Hi, Larry.
Quit filibustering, Heidi.
Well, Larry, he was very supportive with Chasing Fletcher Allen. So
that's right, Larry. Thank you, Larry. But let's get back to Heidi in the hot seat. Heidi, you've answered 3 out of 5 questions about your brother's book. To test that you've done this homework, because I clearly did not, and I'm hosting.
No, you did not. He's trying to make it look.
I only read some of the pictures, all right, Geekscapists? I only read stuff where like there's a picture. Okay, so listen, you got 2 questions to go. They're incrementally harder.
Okay.
Question number 4.
Okay.
Okay. I'm trying to think of.
Yeah, she's like, it's, see, people who can't see, she's like.
Oh my goodness. I'm going,
Bull teeth so on YouTube says, Jonathan color? Cannot turn off his inner troll.
Oh,
Bull teeth, it's an outer troll.
Isn't that Vaughn? That's Vaughn, right? Isn't it?
Vaughn, I don't know.
No, but, it's not Vaughn. I thought that was Vaughn.
But Jermaine Carson is listening and he is laughing. And, all right, so Heidi, you're still on the hot seat.
I got it.
2 questions left. Question number 4.
How do they know that certain arrows came from Malagon?
Malagon is like the big bad guy in this universe.
Yeah, he's the antagonist.
He's the big bad guy, big bad in the 3 books.
That one I don't remember. I remember the part in the book, but I don't remember. There are
spiral colors on the shaft of the arrow, red, green, and blue.
Okay. She's
got. Well, I was gonna say Heidi.
We can't even remember.
I was gonna say Heidi, you're out one Christmas present.
What did I write?
But she can't remember.
It's red, green. I want to say it's red, green, and blue. But you know, when you write this much,
no, I know
you have to have. I have an Excel spreadsheet that's massive. That tracks.
We have to give you a hard time about something.
Yes, well, I know.
Heidi, it looks like we're just gonna have
Chris. Oh look, there's Chris, my stepbrother.
I love this so much, but he slipped and said, mucus. I love this so mucus. And Chris, I'm with you. Okay.
Chris is my stepbrother. Okay, just so well, you know.
Listen,
so.
Listen, the podcast audience don't care.
Mom's stepson. Right? They care.
They just want to hear about more fantasy, all right? And they want to hear you squirm, all right?
Sweetie Pie. Listen, it's not happening. I'm not squirming.
No. You missed your first question. So that means that. You missed your first one. You missed question number 4. That means we're one more question away from canceling Christmas for you. I'm invited. Are you invited? Okay.
Oh dear.
There we go. Okay. This is for the holidays. Because remember, the pandemic's been long. We have not had holidays with our families. You might continue for one more year not having a holiday with your family if you do not answer this. Christopher Robinson with the straight up clear reference to Monty Python. What is the airspeed velocity of a sparrow? That is not the question, but it's a great reference.
What is your name?
What is your name? Okay.
I said that you were my stepbrother. Or brother. Heidi, yes, you were my brother. Heidi,
listen. We ain't playing family tree here, right? We're playing, does Heidi get to celebrate Christmas next year? This one's for all the enchiladas. And yes, I did say that because.
Oh, there's Kevin. He's jumped on too.
Because sometimes I celebrate a Mexican Christmas. But this is for all the Feliz Navidad. This is for all the enchiladas. Navidad. All right. Here we go. Do you have the question, Barbara?
Bring on the.
I did. Now I forgot it with all that.
The question is not, what is the question, Barbara?
Okay. So I had one. Let me bring it back. Come on. What was it?
It's fine. I can just go to your mom's.
Name the girl Quilla tried to match Kiffin up with.
In book 1 of the Watchers of Anaya series. Don't cheat. She's opening the book right now, Geekscape, as we're listening on the podcast. Heidi is cheating. She does not get Christmas next year. She does not get Christmas ever again.
I didn't remember her name because I didn't care about her. Like, I care about Adana. Adana and Lyra. I actually do still care about Lyra. Right. And I care about what happens with her and her mother.
She likes Lyra. She thinks Poltark's funny.
For now, I like.
Some guys who are like, I hate Poltark. He better die.
I don't want anyone to die. Except maybe Malagon. Maybe Malagon. That would be nice.
All right, Heidi. You got 3 out of 5. Bad. You got 3 out of 5. Because you got 3 out of 5, you could celebrate President's Day. But
that's fine. I'll just go to your mom's and have tamales. It's cool. I'll go to New Mexico. You can come
3
here.
3 out of 5. That's a 60. Okay.
All right, that'll work. Yeah,
it's not good.
You just made a 60 on your test.
That's not a good score.
Now, Barbara. At all. Uh-huh. Okay, who was Heidi's first boyfriend?
Oh.
What was his name? You were at Edwards.
Yes,
I didn't like him.
You didn't like him?
No.
I gave you a ring. I gave
you a specific ring. You turned around and gave it to him. I don't remember his name. I do remember Christine, who you knew through, Playtime. Nursery.
I can't.
Who is trying to break into the house?
Is Amari knocking on the door?
I think my nephew's trying to knock on the door. Who is it?
He probably needs his PJs.
You can come in. It's not locked.
That's Heidi's stepdad, Bruce.
He probably needs his pajamas.
This is a family affair, Geekscapists. Geekscapists are like, can you go back to just remote stuff? Because this is insane.
So you remember Daniel, but you just couldn't remember his name.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Okay. He was 2 years older than me, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, Daniel did not get fresh, but that was the correct answer. Daniel was the answer. Okay.
Daniel O'Dell.
Okay.
I have no idea what happened to him.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't know what happened to him.
Next question. Who?
Chris has one.
Okay.
Chris is on. He's got one.
Chris's question.
Where was whose first date?
Mine and Daniel's.
Where was Daniel's and Heidi's first date?
Go on dates. You went to school dance.
We did go on dates.
Did you go to a movie?
Bruce knows it. I mean, Bruce.
Okay.
Hi, Bruce.
Where was Heidi and Daniel's first date?
I have no clue.
Jonathan knows.
I do. The closed down movie theater outside of Clemson.
The Astro.
So I was right. There's not a whole lot. I mean, by process
Clemson.
Of elimination, I could have said movie.
Okay. So you got that close. Okay, how did Daniel kiss? What's the thumping sound?
I don't know what that was. It wasn't me.
Heidi, are you in a horror movie right now? Are you actually trapped in a horror movie? Haunted
room. I think I'm hearing some kind of thumping. I don't know. They're coming.
Heidi, stop. All right. Next question. Who did Heidi lose her virginity to?
Johnny.
What? She's not. Heidi, don't worry. You got 3 out of 5 right. She's doing
Christmas is back on the schedule.
Let's talk about the book. Let's talk about the book. Okay.
That's enough of the hot seat. I'm sorry, Heidi. Listen, now I'm in. I didn't get any questions asked, and I'm the one who lost the whole game. I wasn't even a competitor. You see how this works, Geekscapist?
Chris has stopped too.
I got the whole Evers family against me now. And all I wanted to do was talk about fantasy books.
He's just trying to trip you up, Mom. He likes shock value.
Yeah.
Rude.
Might be the first guy you've dated who tried to shock me.
All right. Well, the answer is, I don't actually know. That'd be weird.
Well, anyway, the book is really good and people should read it. And I think it's awesome because there's a lot of really strong female characters in it. And it's diverse as far as like, there's like a whole racism thing going on in there too. And like the mixture of like different tribes of people. It's really cool. It's a really cool story so far. And I'm excited to see what happens next.
Well, Heidi, you got 3 out of 5, right? You're going to have to go back to the first chapter and start reading again.
Well, hopefully when I read it again, maybe I'll be the person doing the audiobook. That would make me very happy. Right. I'm putting in my name to Chris Kennedy. So Chris, if you're listening, I'm interested in all reading right. the book.
That would be my publisher.
I'm already in trouble. So yeah. Does it. Heidi, am I in trouble?
Yeah, you're in a little bit of trouble. Yeah.
Can I sleep up here in the office?
You should.
That's a possibility.
Okay. So I might be sleeping outside in the garage at this point.
Geeks Larry Potter's asking the name of the book again. So why don't you throw the
book? The name of the book is The Watches of Mariah. It's available. Right? Don't yell at me. I'm kidding. All right. Maniacs, go out there and get your copy of The Watchers of Mania.
Look, Kevin said this book is extremely good. What did you say?
I'm going to say it all. The book is extremely good. I agree with everything that Heidi said about it. The sequels were very good, too.
There you go. The sequels. There's The Watchers in Exile. I got to figure the camera out.
Kevin says that Daniel is a handsome young man.
He didn't know. And The Watchers at War. I was really terrified when I told him what I wanted on this cover that I'd end up with a Charlie's Angels cover. Thank goodness I did not.
Yeah, you got three warrior women on the cover of this book.
It's right pretty here. Awesome. On the second one, one of them's riding the giraffe too, which I was like, oh, snap.
Well, there's something like that in the second book, but it like happens once. It's not.
Yeah. Well, I feel like if you try to ride it, the reason people don't ride giraffes, I think, is because you slide right off.
Back is like this.
You have to hang on to the snow cones.
What are they called again? What are they
ossicones.
Called? Ossicones.
I should have had her spell ossicones.
Maybe we just call them
ossicones. That's not fair.
If you put sunglasses on the giraffes, there's a future. There's a sci-fi version of this book where they have cool sunglasses and shoot lasers out of their mouths, and those are called awesome cones. What do you think about that? Can we do that? Can we Hollywood's going to dumb it down, and they're probably going to do something stupid like that. That's the studio system for you.
Well, we'll see.
What if there's a woman and she has awesome cones? Like, that's what Hollywood.
Well, Hollywood's done that for a very long time, Heidi. They're very obsessed with female awesome cones.
They're working on not doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm. So Kevin had another question.
Kevin asks, when are the prequel books coming out?
Listen,
I got an actual practical question. You only have the first book of this trilogy out. When did the second and the third books come out?
They're out.
First book came out December 18th. The second book came out January 25th. And the third book came out March 1st.
Geekscape, is that cues
up? Keep up, Jonathan.
Listen, all right? I only read Spider-Man. And that says, listen, all the answers are right here. BarbaraBEvers.com. I'm going to go ahead and throw y'all a little preview of that. If y'all go over to the website, BarbaraVEvers.com, let me show you, Geekscape, as you're watching this. What do we got here? We got links to Amazon where you can buy the books. You've got covers of all three of the books and little blurbs and interviews and all sorts of stuff.
I've got a newsletter over there. You can keep track of what's going on.
All sorts of stuff. And you can also have giraffe news.
Mm-hmm.
Meet the newest giraffe at the Greenville Zoo. There's all sorts of.
I'm going to go do that. Like,
Heidi, please. All right. I'm trying to interview an author here. All right. She does the same thing back in LA. She'll like pop her head in the show and be like, what? And I'm like, Heidi, please. You're just killing the flow.
You tell me to before you start the show.
Heidi Cox, everybody. Anyway, she's mad at me for dropping her out of the show.
I love you, Starshine.
I love you too, Mom.
I love you too, Monkey. but there we go. The website, that's what you want to visit, BarbaraVEvers.com.
But Johnny. All books
are available, and you can pick them up digitally and in print right here. And again, the proceeds do go towards a giraffe conservation society.
A percentage,
right. Yeah. Right. Oh, no.
Johnny.
What?
We are going to go meet the giraffe at the zoo on Saturday. Yeah. Mom's taking us.
Okay, podcasters, we're going to be doing a remote episode with the giraffe on Saturday. I just don't know why that information.
Just do a story.
I don't understand why that information pertains to the conversation with your mom here.
Because
you just showed a thing about it on her website.
All I want to tell you is
you should let her answer Kevin's question.
These are the books. Okay, so let's get to Kevin's question. When are the prequel books coming?
Everybody's been asking that. And I'm actually writing something completely different right now. I will probably write prequels at some point, but I don't know if I'll write full novels or novellas or short stories. There is the whole story of their parents. probably if I write a prequel, those of you who've read this will know, it'll probably be Gabriella's story.
Okay. So it's not so much a prequel as like a spinoff prequel, right? Is what you're saying?
It's a prequel.
It takes place earlier.
Gabriella is, there's the four kingdoms, and Gabriella is the Empress of Belwyn, which is one of the kingdoms. And that's where Malagon comes from.
Okay.
So her story is intertwined with his story.
So history or history?
Her story is intertwined with his being Malagon's story. Okay,
got it.
Got it?
I'm a little slow.
Okay. So comic book prequels, huh?
Oh, maybe? We got Wizard of Video Games on Twitch being like, hey, what about... Now, I would read those.
You never know. Graphic novels, you never know.
A comic book version of this?
You never know. I'm not going to say no. I wondered about that, too,
like a graphic novel or something. Yeah.
Okay, Jermaine Carson, one of my former film students, talented kid, has a little comment here. He says, you know what, maybe we set up a little meet and greet there by the giraffe exhibit on Saturday. You come by the Greenville Zoo, get the book autographed by Barbara V. Evers, you know.
I'm trying to get them in the zoo store, but I haven't had a chance to talk to them about that.
But the zoo is limited capacity right now, too. So.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So, okay.
But yeah, I know. It would be fun to do it at the giraffe exhibit. I hang out there as much as I can.
Okay.
There's a new baby.
What about a spinoff where I climb into the gorilla exhibit just for publicity? And is that something that we can work out?
It's orangutan.
They're not going to be violent with me. We need something that has a little, you know, I mean, like people, the news loves. The lions could work. The news likes violence. The news loves like a little bit of, you know, danger, a little bit of excitement. Maybe if I climb, what if I take some of the books and I climb over into the lion exhibit? What do you think about that as like a promotional opportunity?
And read to them? Read to the lions?
To them,
do you know like, what? Those lions are always asleep. I wouldn't be surprised if nothing happened.
Okay, then let's upgrade things. George Pepe suggests the hippos.
There are no hippos.
Okay, no hippos?
It's a small zoo, y'all. It doesn't have a lot of animals.
Okay, what about a lemur?
There's an elephant.
There's leopards. No, they don't have the elephants anymore. They died.
Okay.
All of them?
Heidi's trying to get me, after that remark I made during the quiz, Heidi's trying to get me trampled, is what she's saying right there.
The howler monkeys. You know, Kevin.
Kevin says, he's watching on Facebook. He says, you need to climb in with the howler monkeys. I might out-howl them. They might just keep me there.
And they've moved the monkeys up towards the front now. But they used to have the gibbons, and I wonder if that's not who he's talking about. They don't have the gibbons anymore.
Okay, listen, do they have any animals left at the zoo?
There's emu, there's anteaters, there's lions, there's vultures, there's giraffes. And I'm trying to think, alligators, although I think they're moved off exhibit right now. There's leopards, there's orangutans.
Geekscape, is next week we're going to give you a play-by-play on the Greenville Zoo and what we have.
It's a very small...
You don't think this is compelling?
George Pepe is asking about the meerkats.
I wish they had meerkats.
We could just go right down the whole Lion King.
Yeah, I wish they had meerkats. Somewhere around here, I have a statue of a meerkat, too.
Jermaine Carson's back. He says, Jonathan, stop trying to promote King Kong versus Godzilla, if that's what you're doing.
I'm pretty excited to watch it.
I gotta tell you, Barbara, did you think that your daughter growing up, your daughter was like totally normal kid. She was a geek. She was into Star Trek, though. Let me tell you, on Valentine's Day, she's like, it's Valentine's, I want to watch a movie. I said, great, we're watching King Kong Skull Island. And she was like, Jonathan, are you kidding me? I sat Heidi down in front of King Kong Skull Island, and she was not paying attention. For the first maybe 15, 20 minutes, Tom Hiddleston shows up and she's like, oh, I like this movie. And then
I do like Tom.
Then they get to the island and the King Kong starts smacking all the helicopters. Things start happening. She's in it to win it. The next night, the 15th day after Valentine's, she watches Godzilla 2014 with Quicksilver and the guy from Breaking Bad. And then the next night, we watch Godzilla King of Monsters, three straight. I mean, they're the modern versions of King Kong and Godzilla, but three straight nights, monster movies. This girl's awesome. I could believe she did it. I definitely love this girl. I can't believe that I'm down with it. You believe that she was?
Yes, on Valentine's? Because Jurassic Park, when Jurassic Park came out, she was in high school. She and her sister were.
Middle school. When the first Jurassic Park came out.
No, I was in high school.
She was in high school.
Oh, she was in high school. Oh, got it. I don't know.
I don't know what grade. Anyway,
However old I was.
She still lived with me. Okay.
Yeah.
And we wanted to see the first airing of it. So I went and bought tickets for the first show, picked them up from school, and the four of us went and saw Jurassic Park, the first time it aired in Greenville.
Mm-hmm. I loved it.
My friend Carolyn was there with her parents, so we sat together.
Okay, so
I don't remember that part.
So she was just mad at me on Valentine's when she didn't want to watch the Kong Skull.
Yeah, it was Valentine's.
I didn't feel like it, but then I realized I didn't know that these monster movies were kind of like, the monsters aren't really the bad guy.
It's an environmental
we're
message.
We're the bad guys.
And
I felt bad for Kong.
King Kong is a love story, yeah.
And Wizard Video Games off of Twitch says, the first King Kong is a love story. It's about man's love of money. And mm-hmm. yeah, I think that's been the most accurate portrayal. The Peter Jackson one did a pretty good job of portraying that as well. But I love that first King Kong movie. I think it's one of the most impressive technical feats I've ever seen in cinema.
I did see the Peter Jackson one in theaters. I did see that one. It was really good.
Heidi, listen, I just thought that since you're dating a giant ape, Kong Skull Island would have been perfect for Valentine's.
It was very romantical.
You're very excited for this Kong versus Godzilla, right? Romantical. You're excited for this.
It's so. A name. It's a word I made up, Mom. Romantical. Okay.
Next week's gonna be a great Geekscape. We're gonna talk to you about what happened at the Greenville Zoo. We'll give you Heidi's thoughts on King Kong versus Godzilla. I'll say a bunch of stupid stuff that'll no doubt get me in trouble with Heidi later on. It's gonna be a typical Geekscape. It'll be fantastic. I'll put my foot in my mouth 15 times. Barbara's going to get a bunch of texts from family members being like, who was that guy? Do not let him marry your daughter. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be
great.
Hey.
I know. Hey, listen. Just saying. Heidi's like, what is this? Is this news now?
No, we've talked about it. It's not that crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. It's come in the form of me begging and her walking away. So that's
This is him asking you for your permission, and he's doing it in front of people, so like it doesn't create a scene when you tell him.
It's kind of like when they put it on the Jumbotron and the girl's got to say yes because, you know, we're on TV.
Something like that, but it's for you.
I was going to do it on Kong Skull Island, but I can't find it on Google Maps.
Heidi?
Yeah?
Heidi, which character is he in from my books? Which one is he the most like?
The dress go to the bathroom, right?
The memory keeper.
Glue.
I don't even know what that means. Hold on. Now I got a woman.
Olaf, the memory keeper is what I was going to say.
As possible.
But you think he's like Gloom?
Oh, geez. I got to flip through this. Where is he? Oh, geez.
He's like the fool. Kind of. He's like the minstrel.
You said the memory keeper.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said the draft keeper. Okay.
No, all right. The memory keeper.
The memory keeper makes sense.
Like
he's not
this
quite
quiz.
He wears a pointed hat.
This is blown up in my face. I don't like this at all.
I bought you a jester's hat for us to go to the Ren Fair, and we haven't been able to go.
You think me a buffoon. Sure.
You said that you would wear it.
I actually thought you were saying you were Gloom, who is the draft keeper.
I could do
who,
that. I could clean up.
I haven't gotten to know.
My editor told me I could kill anybody, but not Gloom.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, so,
the draft keeper's cool. Yeah. But he's too calm. He's too calm to be Jonathan.
There's a good point. The memory keeper, Olaf.
Yeah, because Olaf has to perform.
His name is Olaf.
Yeah,
I did that before Frozen came out. I'm just saying.
I like both Olafs.
There's only one way to find out what they're talking about. You got to go buy the book. And the best way to buy the book is to go right here to this website we got, barbaravevers.com.
Go to Amazon, get it on Amazon.
Yeah.
You can get the print or the digital. If you're local, Fiction Addiction in Greenville carries it. Hub City in Spartanburg carries it.
This is a global thing here, this show.
You can also do them online. And one more store, Bookmarks in Winston-Salem has a few too.
Yeah. Wizard of Video Games compares me to the dude who like cried when the Rancor died in Return of the Jedi when he crushes up with a skull. That's a pretty problematic scene, I think. I just think it's weird that Luke Skywalker knew that R2-D2 had that lightsaber the whole time up there in Jabba's Palace and was like, nah, I'll do it with a skull and a bone. I got this. Like, what a Chad. What a total, like, jerk move to be like, R2. Yeah, I know you got a lightsaber up there. I'm good. I'm just going to hit him with a bone trick. You've seen this. African or
James back to the swallow thing.
He says African or European. I don't know what that means.
Because that's back to the Monty Python. No, he's talking. Back to the Monty Python reference.
Swallows.
This is a temperate zone.
The coconuts. People might would have asked about the stories too, because it's more of an African type setting.
It is an African type.
Well, until she.
Is it like Wakanda?
Elwar is
part of like England.
Like Wakanda and the Black Panther.
Well, it's not.
It's not like technologically advanced it's like not Wakanda. Technology.
You know, it's more along the savannah.
Okay.
So in that area,
but if this is medievalish. This is medievalish fantasy, right? Like if you're a fan of Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings, you'll be into this.
Pre-industrial fantasy,
sure.
Pre-industrial fantasy for sure.
Yeah, because then you get into all that steampunk stuff, and then the cosplay kicks in, and it's like, nah.
Yeah. Although the next book's urban fantasy, so
urban fantasy, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Monaya is kind of like Africa, but I feel like Elwar is more kind of like England or like the British Isles.
If you said that, I wasn't trying to make it like that, but
sounds like it.
These are warring kingdoms in the book. These are
they're allies.
They're allies.
No, they're allies.
They're not gonna last that long, right? Like we got to have a little shake it up in some of these books, right?
Things well, they shake it up, but it's
warring kingdoms.
No. Heidi, please, I'm talking to the author.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Yeah, the author's right here, Heidi, but feel free to answer
for her. So there's four kingdoms, and Malagon is an illegitimate son of royalty from Belwyn.
And he thinks it's his throne.
He wants it.
Meanwhile,
he wants the throne of all four kingdoms.
We have this sudden death of the queen.
Right.
Young teenage daughter, 13, 14 years old.
She's 15.
15, old enough to date Matt Gaetz. 15. And she, that was uncalled for. And she has to go into hiding because
she's sent to a safer place
because they don't know why, how the
they don't know died. Where he's gonna. Rumors are he's alive, he was supposed to be dead 20 Malagon. Years now. Yeah, rumors are he's alive,
Malagon, not so gone.
Yeah, not so gone. And Watchers, which is it is the Watchers of everything. The Watchers are the female warriors, they also have, keen sight, but also they have visions and prophecy. And so there's a prophecy that warns that if she doesn't go into hiding, things won't go well.
Yeah.
So they send her to Elwar, which is a more enclosed kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard for her as a watcher because in Africa, in the savannah, watchers can see in the distance. It's part of their skill. It's part of their talent. They can discern things that most of us can't. Their aim's incredible too, by the way, because of that. But she's gone into this place where she almost feels claustrophobic.
It's
mountainous, forest, walls, close together, very claustrophobic.
I could have taken this quiz. See, I'm doing all right on my own. Heidi has a question. She'd like to speak again. We will not allow it. Anyway, we got some more comments coming in. I'm kidding, Heidi. What do you need?
I was just going to make an observation too that I already have told my mom. I really thought it was interesting that you have these characters who can see so perfectly because she's my mom. So I've known her my entire life and vision is a little challenging for you. You've got a pretty strong prescription on your contacts and glasses. And
they don't make contact lenses in my prescription.
Yeah.
I wear contact lenses, but they don't make them in my prescription.
Oh my goodness. So this really is a fantasy book.
And also, it
wasn't on purpose. I actually designed the Watchers to match what I knew about giraffes. So giraffes have very keen sight.
Okay.
But then I turned it into more.
I think that it's kind of reflective of maybe your subconscious in a way. Maybe.
Are you saying maybe you made your mom blind? That your mom grew
when I was born.
Writing a book for 25 years, writing a book series over 25 years, maybe you'll go blind. That's why I stick to comics. The big pictures, real dumb, like big pictures. I get to just look at it and be like, oh, Spider-Man.
The thing she was talking about with Malagon, the guy that wants to rule all the kingdoms, my favorite thing that I read so far was this sentence from Gabriella, who says, "Do you believe you can rule you, the illegitimate spawn of my cousin's rape?" I was like, "Whoa, my mom wrote that."
How does it make you feel weird when you read your mom? Like,
no, it's just cool. It's cool to get to know my mom in a different way than I know her by reading something that she's written. It's not that I didn't think she could. It's just, you know.
You didn't think she had it in her? Is that what you're saying, Heidi?
I'm sure my mom has the same. Yeah, I'm just going to ignore. I just learned because he's got so many. You're so talented, sweetie, and you have really funny little one-liners. But I'll never be able to tell a story sometimes if I let you say everything that you want to say.
I don't want to put words.
I love you, though.
But you're proud of your mom.
So proud. Yeah. And I feel like it's probably when mom watches like films and things that I've made, she probably got to know me in a different way. You know,
she only watches half of them and doesn't finish them. She does the Heidi method of reviewing Friends stuff.
I've read this book. I've read Aaron, this.
Has.
Chris has. Evers says, LOL. Aaron Clue says, LOL. I think we're doing okay here on Geekscape. Listen, I just wanted to introduce you to Barbara because I think she's awesome. She's clearly talented. She wrote all three of these books and tons more. She's got short stories across all sorts of publications that have been going on the last 20 plus years. She's been a published author for a very long time. But this right now is like her big thing. And all three books are available in both digital and in print. You got to go check it out at barbaravevers.com. And of course, Amazon.
Right.
Write that in there. The Watchers of Benaiah. You'll find this stuff. I mean, I feel like we could go on for hours, but like, and really all I want Geekscape is to do is go to the little, you know, go check out the books. And especially, you know, honestly, these are for fans of fantasy novels, young adult.
Actually, I've had a lot of people who don't read fantasy who are reading them and loving them.
That's great.
Yeah. It's really exciting because I have friends who are like, it's not really my thing, but I'm going to read it. Hey, this is really cool. So, you know, I've had people say, it's your fault that I didn't get any sleep last night, too. So, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
And it's like, I just saw the drafts and I thought it was weird, so I thought I'd pick it up, you know?
I've had people say, you had me at drafts.
Yeah. Well, so wait, what?
You had me at drafts.
Is that what I should use on Heidi?
No.
Okay.
No, I know what animals I like. I like giraffes, but they're not my favorite.
Right,
look at Larry, what Larry said.
Larry, thank you. I hope you them and read them. If you like them, please put reviews out on Amazon,
On. We're a podcast. The audio listeners don't know what Larry said. We got to read it out loud.
Oh, okay.
He says, you guys got me sold. Just went to your website, and I'll be getting these books on Amazon. That's Larry Potter right there. Now, would you like
to like them?
Yes. I think you got it.
Listen, podcast listeners, I know things get crazy with the live stream. Y'all sometimes might feel like you're outside of, listening in, but Geekscapists who are listening on the podcast, y'all are still the bread and butter of this brand and definitely this show. This is your first Geekscape, we are a network. We have like 14 shows. If you search for Geekscape on any podcatcher, you can find shows about music, you can find shows about pro wrestling, you can find shows about horror movies, you can find shows about female filmmaking. Heidi should probably be a guest on that show pretty soon.
Yes.
We've got lots of shows across all sorts of pop culture for all sorts of people. This is just the flagship show where the guy who started Geekscape says a bunch of stupid stuff to try and get you guys to laugh. And every now and then be like, oh, he might have said something smart about, you know, the Snyder Justice League. But then he said something stupid right after that. So we just missed it. But we've been doing this for 15 years. We love it. And as Bolt T says, you had me at Chupacabra.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody actually said that, but I do love you, Bolt T. And I love Christopher Robinson. He said 90. I don't even know the context for that. But
me neither.
Y'all are so weird, and I love you so much. How do you like Geekscape, Barbara, as the person that's dating your daughter and has been doing this for I'm dating your daughter, and I'm running this Geekscape network and doing this. Are you thinking, what a giant loser?
No.
Oh, you like this. You're having fun?
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Her brother was on it, too.
Yeah.
Her brother was entertained.
Yeah. Chris Robinson wants to throw a joke and say 90% of the shows contain Matt Kelly.
Oh,
yeah, 10% of them, though, are a lot of fun.
And Chris had a question.
And Chris finally says, what should we search as a keyword in podcast apps? If you search for Geekscape, I think you'll find one of our shows. And, our video game show just came back, Geekscape Games. So there's a lot. Like, just kind of poke around. And, of course, the Geekscape.net website has a lot of stuff on it. And if you're a fan of it, you know what? We put a lot of information on Facebook and on Instagram and on Twitter. So search for Geekscape. You can't go wrong with this show because I'll say stupid stuff every week.
I was just going to say that Matt Kelly may be 90% of this, but I'm in every episode at the end because you're listening to the Geekscape Network.
As y'all listen to this episode and we wrap up.
Mic drop.
You got to listen to the end to hear Heidi's voice at the end of it. But really, Chris, like, search for Geekscape, and then if you like what you hear, just kind of scroll through the whole Geekscape roster. We should probably do a better job organizing it. I think we need to redo our website. Oh my God, this thing's, we've had so many iterations and revamps of the website and all this stuff that, like, if you go to the website, you'd be like, I see some of the shows. I think we just got to redo the website, clean things up so you know where to find all the shows. But if you do go to your podcast apps, you'll see Geekscape. It's pretty fun.
There's like 15 years of unorganized.
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
It's like my comic book collection. My comic book collection looks like the warehouse at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like, that's what my comic book collection looks like. Somebody says, hey, do you have this issue? I said, I know I do, but I don't know how to find it. We have a comic book collection.
Yeah, it's in there somewhere.
Oh, she pointed to a file cabinet. That is like an assault.
No, it's in a tub.
It's in a tub. She keeps her comics in a tub. This is horrific.
They are in sleeves.
Is it all of Henry's?
Yeah, they're in bags and boards.
It's mostly Henry's, but there are a few others.
All right.
Henry's been on the show too, so
yeah, I know
we've talked to him about.
All right. Well, Geekscape, I hope you've enjoyed your Geekscape. Heidi, I want to go on record as saying I only muted you because I was getting like ums in the background.
I know.
But now I have to face that wrath.
It's active listening.
Yeah.
Wrath,
yeah.
Heidi.
Hmm. Geekscape.
Heidi.
Is there something you want to add to the Geekscapist, Barbara?
To the Geekscapist. Ah.
Besides buy your book.
Besides buy my book? No, just thanks for listening. These guys are fun. I appreciate the time.
Of course.
And giraffes are awesome.
And where can we find you on social media?
Okay, so Barbara V. Evers. Just look for Barbara V. Evers. That's basically where I am. I have an author page on Facebook, Barbara V. Evers. I have an Instagram, Barbara V. Evers. I have a Pinterest, Barbara V. Evers.
It makes it really easy.
No, I don't have my
Friendster.
I'm on LinkedIn too.
I'll get you on Friendster.
Find me.
All right. Kevin Mallory, all y'all who are watching, thanks so much. And
Geekscape
listeners, again, if you enjoy the show, go leave us that 5-star review on your favorite podcast app. Be a lot of fun. Thank you. Leave us a nice review and share us with your friend. Hit that little share button that looks like a well with an arrow coming out of it. I really don't know what it is, but Larry enjoyed it. He said you should do more Geekscape with Heidi and Barbara. Well, I'm going to roll now. And if you recognize his voice at the end of the episode, well, here's a hint. It's Heidi's. So Heidi, for everyone at Geekscape, that's the show. And here's Heidi closing it out.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.